When Thomas Edison was finally successful in lighting the light bulb, he had tried over 2,000 experiments before he got it to work. A young reporter asked him, "How did it feel to fail so many times?" To which Edison responded, "I didn't fail once. I got the light bulb to light. It just happened to be a 2,000-step process." She was the 20th of 22 children. She was born prematurely, and her survival was doubtful. When she was 4 years old, she developed a case of double pneumonia and scarlet fever, which left her paralyzed in the left leg. At age 9, she removed the brace that she depended on and began to walk. By 13, she developed a rhythmic walk that the doctors said was miraculous. That same year, she decided that she would become a runner. She entered a race and came in last. For the next 3 years, every race she entered, she came in last. And she was told by everyone that she should quit, but she kept on running. One day, she actually won a race. And from that day on, every race she entered, she won. Eventually, this little girl who was told would never walk again went on to win 3 Olympic gold medals. Her name was Wilma Rudolph. Persistence. By definition, it means to continue in the pursuit of, to continue in the face of opposition, to be insistent. Persistence. Abraham Lincoln was persistent. He failed in business at the age of 21. He was defeated in a legislative race at the age of 22. He failed again in business at the age of 24. His sweetheart died while he was at the age of 26. He had a nervous breakdown at the age of 27. He lost a congressional race at the age of 34. He lost another congressional race at the age of 36. He lost a senatorial race at the age of 45. He failed at a bid to become vice president at the age of 47. He lost another senatorial race at the age of 47, but was elected president of the United States of America at the age of 52. Now, we all know that Lincoln was a scrappy wrestler, but long before Lincoln, there was another scrappy wrestler. Jacob was a conniving, lying, betraying, deceitful man for the first half of his life. He was not what we would call a role model. He was not a moral example. He was not even what we would call a believer. Oh, yes, Jacob knew there was God. He believed in God, but he wasn't following him. No, Jacob was not the best example of a follower of God. But Jacob was persistent. When he fell in love with Rachel, he worked 7 years for her hand in marriage. And after the deceiver was deceived by his uncle Laban and tricked into marrying Rachel's older sister Leah, he worked another 7 years for her marriage. 14 years total to marry the woman he loved. And then one night, when he was 61 years old and returning to his homeland, he and his family came to the river Jabbok. And Jacob sent everyone across to the other side and all their belongings, and he was left alone on the far side. And all of a sudden, a man appeared out of nowhere, grabbed a hold of him, and the two began wrestling. And this wrestling match went on all night long. Now, apparently, Jacob realized that this was no ordinary man. And of course, being who he was, Jacob, he wanted to get something out of him. He wanted a blessing. And so he wrestled all night long. He would not let go of this stranger. The man, realizing he couldn't, that Jacob wouldn't let go, touched his hip and dislocated it. But even in all of his pain, Jacob would not let go and give up. The stranger said, "Let go of me, for daylight is coming." And Jacob said, "No, not until you bless me. Not until you bless me." Now this man, as we're told, was the angel of the Lord. And he asked, "What is your name?" And he told him, "My name is Jacob." "Well, Jacob, you will no longer be, for now you will be called Israel, for you have wrestled with God." But that wasn't enough for Jacob. He asked, "What is your name?" And the angel asked, "Why do you ask my name?" And in reading that, it seems as if the angel is saying, "Why are you asking my name? You know who I am." The angel never did give him a name, but he did bless him. Jacob would not give up until he got what he wanted. Persistence. Now, this was the angel of the Lord, a very powerful being. Many scholars believe that the angel of the Lord was actually the second person of the Trinity, the Son himself, thus God. And he could have defeated Jacob very easily. I mean, with a mere touch of his finger on his hip, he dislocated it. This person could have just touched his heart and stopped it. But he didn't. Because God didn't want to hurt Jacob. God wanted to bless him. But I believe that it was a test for Jacob. A test to see how much faith Jacob had, if he had any. Jacob knew that this man was different. And he knew he was from, or perhaps knew he was God. And he knew that he would be blessed. And so he held on. And the longer he persisted, the stronger his faith became. For he invested so much energy into this belief, that he couldn't give up now, and he was rewarded. But it must be made clear that Jacob did not force God or coerce God into do anything. God wanted to bless him, but he wanted Jacob to want the blessing as well. And God wanted to know how much he wanted it. How long was he willing to pursue it, to persist? God encourages persistence in all areas of life, especially with the spiritual. We find this encouragement in the Gospel of Luke as well. Jesus was with his disciples praying, and after he finished, one of them asked, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And what he was really asking was, teach us to pray like you. Disciples were students, and their goal was to become just like their teacher. And they wanted to know everything the teacher knew. They wanted to pray like their teacher. And so they weren't asking to be taught how to pray the way that John taught his disciples, but rather Jesus, like John taught his disciples, his way of praying, teach us your way of praying. And Jesus taught them what is now known as the Lord's Prayer. Then, in verses 5 to 9, Jesus continues to teach on prayer, but he switches to a parable. Let's take a look at that again. In this parable, a man has a friend come in the middle of the night, midnight, and according to custom, in the Middle East in those days, when someone arrived at your home, you were to feed them, regardless of the time. And not only were you responsible for meeting the needs of this person, but by custom, the whole town or the whole village was responsible to help meet their needs. And so we have one neighbor inconveniencing another to accommodate these travelers. In Luke's time, houses were mostly one- or two-room dwellings. There was usually a cooking area and then a large room that was an all-purpose area. It was also used for sleeping. At night, they would take a large wooden bolt and put it through some iron rings to secure the door, and then they would roll out a big mat, and all the family members would lay down and sleep on that mat. Thus, in this parable, we find a man and his family fast asleep in this one room when his friend comes banging on the door at midnight. And when the entire family is sleeping, in one small room, it would be extremely inconvenient for him to get up and step over and between all the people sleeping, rumble that piece of wood through those iron rings and then open the door and have a conversation. He probably would have woken everyone up. And so this man, we find in verse 7, says, "Don't bother me." But his neighbor is persistent and eventually get what he wants. Jesus explains it like this in verse 8. He says, "I tell you, he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend. However, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." And the word boldness in Greek is most often translated as persistent. The man gets up not because of his friendship, but because of his neighbor's persistence, because he keeps on knocking. Now, this verse seems to teach us that if we bother someone long enough, if we bother God long enough, that God will give in and give us what we want. But that's not the case. A better way to understand this is to see it as a contrast between humanity and God. On the one hand, we have two friends. And if the sleeping friend is bothered long enough, he will eventually get up reluctantly and angrily and grumpily. He'll respond to his persistent neighbor's knocking. And if that is the case with humans, then surely God, who is good, will answer our prayers much more gracefully, right? And so Jesus continues by saying in verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." Now, does that mean that we can ask for luxurious cars and lavish homes and lots of money? No. In the context of this story, it is referring to necessities of life, bread, water, the things that we need just to survive. But it also is indicating, especially to the spiritual things that will further the kingdom of heaven, that will help us share the gospel message, that will help strengthen our faith. Also notice all of these teachings, ask, seek, knock, they're all in the present tense, suggesting the idea of continual asking, seeking, and knocking, being persistent. Then Jesus, he makes a strange statement here. In verse 11, "Which of you, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" Now, there were some skinny fish that kind of looked like snakes. Maybe he's talking about an eel. And there is a breed of scorpion that will ball up, and when it does, it takes on the color and shape of an egg. But again here, I believe he's looking at contrasting humanity against God. Jesus is saying that no good father, no good parent would trick his hungry children with such things. Therefore, if a man, being sinful as we are, will give his children only the good things, how much more so will a good and holy heavenly Father give his children good things? Jesus is reinforcing that if we ask for spiritual things and necessities in life, God will respond with kindness. Friends, persistence does more to change our hearts and minds than it does God's. Not only that, but by being persistent, it helps us to better understand and express our needs and desires. And when we think that God is slow in answering our prayers, well, consider this. Perhaps God is testing our faith. If we have little faith in something, then we'll probably give up on it. It's not that important. If Jacob had not strongly believed that he would be blessed, he would have given up sometime in the middle of the night, or at least once his hip was dislocated. But he didn't, because he strongly believed, he had so much faith that he would be blessed. Question for you this morning, my friends. How much faith do you have? How persistent of you? How long will you wrestle with whatever it is that you're wrestling with, that you're struggling with? How long will you keep knocking on the door of prayer? Well, my friends, hang on. hang on and keep knocking. For the longer you persist, the stronger your faith will become. And God can be trusted to give us what we need. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.